Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's start this thing then.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah. Lee. What's this going to be? Is this 16, 17? I don't know.
I stopped counting. Are we supposed to be counting?
Episodes? Nope. Nah, well, also, I'm finding
well,
out.
Well, we do want to have anniversaries, though.
That's true.
So. Well, then, if you count, then if we release them in a different order, you're going to sound
see,
like a
see, and that's what's happened before. Right. Yeah, we actually had one where I had to cut it out.
This
like,
is
welcome
podcast.
To episode 13, and it sure wasn't.
Yeah. No.
So. Yeah, but well, welcome to the new one.
Yeah, this is podcast 17, 18, episode. 19, 20, 21.
It's in there somewhere. Yeah. Eventually you'll hear this.
Stardate.
If you're listening to it.
Right. Stardate. Yeah, we should do podcast Stardate, you know, and then nobody will know exactly what
episode.
Even if this yeah,
fill
I
in the
I
blank.
I don't think we should do that.
No. Morgan, what episode are we on? Tell us, please.
I just had to dangle that carrot.
I'll run with it.
At the beginning of every episode, I think Juan's got it. We just
text Morgan just real quick and go, hey, what episode are we on, Morgan?
She's way more onto it than we are.
Well, somebody should be.
Yes.
Doing a good job, Morgan.
Okay. Yeah, welcome back, Dread, Fright, and Brew. And what do we have for everybody tonight? Oh, a fantastic film. A wonderful film. I'm not sure if this was Oscar.
I don't know that I would use the word fantastic.
No, it's so good. I don't know if it was nominated.
Shit show?
Or if it was just given to it posthumously.
I'm not even going to ask whose idea this was. We're just going to leave
it alone.
It was
these two.
Yeah.
No.
You've never seen this
Aaron
one?
Nope.
Never
seen
really
this one.
Got really excited. Yeah. Found it for Juan for Christmas, and that is what started
so
this.
You and Grace.
It is their fault.
Had your ice cream cherries popped. So that's good.
Yeah.
Yep. I had my
Aaron and I have seen it.
Cherry Garcia mm-hmm. pop.
You had your Cherry Garcia pop.
Over nice. And over and over.
So we will be talking about the Oscar winning. Not everything on this podcast is true, by the way. I think it got Golden Globes, a Tony.
Right. Didn't it win the Pulitzer?
The screenplay? No, it was the Nobel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Ice Cream Man, 1995.
Yes.
What a movie.
Is that what year that was?
Okay. 1995.
That's
you believe
the thing.
That,
it's that makes it worse.
There's that no young. Excuse.
Oh, my God.
No, check this out. In 1995.
I was thinking it was like early 80s.
Best actor winner.
Oh,
Clint
that just made it way worse. Oof.
Yeah. Maybe it was 94. I
well,
don't know. Right in there 6
degrees of separation.
95.
His brother's
when
won,
this
so.
Movie came out, it was going up against things such as The Crow. Awesome.
Yep.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Awesome.
Second best of the series, as far as I'm concerned. In the Mouth of Madness.
Phenomenal
amazing
movie.
Film. Interview with the Vampire. Not my jam, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It was handled well. De la Morte, De la More. Mm-hmm. You know, even things that weren't super well-known or super popular based
but
on...
Really good movie, though?
Good movies.
Oh, yeah.
There's no excuse for Ice Cream Man.
I think we're going to find out that there are plenty of excuses,
yes.
actually, as we get
but,
on, in
that
this.
Being said, it is quite enjoyable to watch.
We wouldn't
I will tell you that right
it
now.
Like it
is a...
yeah.
Even Grace had to laugh.
Oh, I was laughing through most of it. I don't know that I was laughing because it was funnier or that I was laughing at it.
Yeah.
That it was so... bad.
And that's the ultimate lack of an excuse is why do we enjoy it? There's no reason we should. I mean, there's not. It's not even Jack Frost level.
No. It
this made Ginger Dead Man look classy.
It looked like it tried to be somewhat like serious. It looked like it tried to kind of take itself seriously.
Did it insist upon itself, Lee?
It did. And in fact, some of the characters are like developed just enough to be like, oh, okay, this is going to have some. And then
yes,
they
Tuna
fall
had
completely
some real
fat.
Depth.
Yeah, there was like
Tuna.
Tuna.
Yes.
In his fake fat suit.
No, so
yeah,
I mean.
It's a pillow. I'm
yes,
sure.
Oh, exactly.
No,
it was a great
oh,
saying. It's like,
it so
look.
Mad.
But I mean, think about it. Think about the, oh, yeah, hey.
Lee, are you not drinking?
I am drinking.
Are you in the wagon?
Nope, I am. We're going to beer it up. I got
to... I want your thought. Let's get your thought.
Finish your thought.
Yes.
It's going to be okay.
So, there. It's like they started five different backstories or six different backstories that you were like, oh, okay, here's a guy cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
Right? Here's a horny housewife. Here's...
oh, yeah, the crazed priest. You know, the crazed priest. Like a little too into it. And,
right? And
yeah,
then...
Yeah,
the nurse.
And then... Yeah. But then they populated those stories, potential stories, with actors of some horror chops.
They did.
Right?
Which gave you this little glimmer of hope, and then they snatched that away.
And none of it mattered.
And none of it mattered.
And
so,
you had Jan Michael Vincent.
Well,
Airwolf.
The only topic that we could find that would appropriately top this wonder of Ice Cream Man is from Everybody's Brewing, a little beer that I've liked for a long, long time called Sprinkles. So we are going to sprinkle our ice cream today with this hibiscus sour red ale from Everybody's Brewing in Washington.
What, and you're going to like it, Lee.
White Salmon.
Yeah, White Salmon, Washington.
So it's just across the river from like Hood River in Oregon. Oh.
Yeah. Their patio actually looks back into Oregon and has the most amazing like direct on view of Mount Hood.
That has got a pucker, man.
Doesn't it?
That is a sour.
Major pucker, dude.
Well, I'm also noticing that you got dregs. You got
I totally gave him the butt.
I
swirled it, too, and threw it in there.
Yeah.
It goes back.
I usually take that, but I thought it'd be funnier.
Yeah, no, that's a Sour Patch fucking lollipop.
Here, try this.
Yeah, yours is clear.
Yeah, see the difference.
Yours is clear compared to my fucking jizz shot that Grace gave me.
That's the money shot.
I'll take the money shot glass.
No. Yeah, much different. That's surprisingly different.
A lot different, right?
No, yeah. I'm totally cool with this because when I was homebrewing, I would actually hit the yeast shot, you know, at the end of the bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And you're apparently not supposed to, but I loved it.
And the worm and the tequila bottle.
The worm and the tequila bottle.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's how you are.
So Everybody's Brewing. like I said, out of White Salmon. They've been around since, I guess technically 2008. They opened.
Yeah, I think they officially opened
as,
in 2009.
It was like just a restaurant, like a pub kind of thing. with the idea that they were going to brew in 2008. And then 2009 actually started brewing their own beers. started by Doug Ellenberger and his, I believe, now wife.
Yeah, I don't think they were married at the time.
I don't think so at the time. No, they are.
He had to make his millions first.
Apparently, yeah.
His lady.
So he,
I don't remember.
He came from Lafayette Brewing, which was in Indiana, and then when he moved out here, he was working for Point Blank, the distributors, before he went into this, and then got himself a couple awesome brewers.
Shocker! Everybody says distributed by Point Blank.
Yeah, right. who knew?
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
But no, they've got some rad brewers now. Jess, is it Candle? I don't remember his last name. Their head brewer has worked. He worked at Full Sail. He worked at Solera. He worked at Y-East. He's got like a microbiology degree or some fancy schmancy.
That explains
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he makes some really cool beers. Like their core lineup is a bunch of really classic, clean, super tasty beers. Like they make a really good lager, they make really good IPAs, but they also do all kinds of fun, weird one-offs. Like
totally
hibiscus sour.
Yeah, like, I love
it's
the fact
dried
that,
hibiscus
that this
flowers.
Made it into their year-round, everyday, always available lineup. That's for something like this. That's kind of an experiment and fun and trying new things. It's bold for a brewery to say, yeah, we're going to put that on a shelf all year long and make sure it sells. But the Oregonian actually said something about them that talks to exactly what you're saying. Oregonian did a write-up on, I want to say it was Oregon breweries, and then they mentioned Everybody's anyway, just kind of, as a nod.
They're one of those ones that they're accepted as a local brewery even though they're across the river, which is not very common for Washington breweries. We kind of shun them a little bit.
But the Oregonian said that Everybody's Brewing toes the line between the everyman drinker and the beer snob just about better than anybody else. And I think that's a great way
to put
it.
That's fair, yeah.
They have that beer that you can pick up every single time, like Country Boy IPA.
Yep, everybody's local lager local and all lager, of those,
Yeah, and they also, like you were saying, have just these wonderful, and especially collaborations. They do some rad collaborations with folks.
Yeah.
They actually did a collaboration with Grains of Wrath not too long ago that was super awesome, who is now open Mm-hmm. Not really close by them, but up on that side of things. Anyway, the location is super awesome. It is in the beautiful scenic Columbia River Gorge.
Their food is fantastic too.
Really good food. Fun fact. Really cool employees. I've just really enjoyed going there.
Yeah, no, it's a really good spot. But no, I've liked these guys for a long time. They're making really good beers. And I like that they're super versatile because they can do, I mean, they just released a, they just bottled a cryo hop IPA, something about dust. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, and they do, you know, crazy sours. They did that, what was it, Uncle Stepdaddy?
Uncle Stepdaddy's bourbon barrel aged. Which was this
delicious bourbon barrel aged stout. So they're all over the map. So they're kind of, they're awesome.
Yeah, they're doing really good things with the cryo hop. Their first cryo hop, or maybe it was the second one, won a silver in the IPA category for Washington Beer Awards, which is kind of awesome. And then, like you were saying, the one that they're bottling right now, that's the very first time anyone has bottled a cryo hop beer, so they're pretty proud of that. I think some have ended up in cans before.
I hadn't really thought about that, but yeah,
they're the first one to throw it in a bottle, and it's called On That Dust.
On that, I knew something with
which, as I understand it, is a Beastie Boys reference. One of the songs on License to Ill ends in the line like "'Cause we're on that dust."
I'm not
a Beastie Boy, but that was their nod.
I did
Lee's dying over here. His face is red from the amount
you
of pucker.
You will drink it.
Oh, no, no. No, this other one to get you a little refresh?
This is the, I'm totally fine with this.
Cleaner
pour. It's something to tell our listeners if they ever need to get the bottom of a sour jizz shot. It's a completely different taste.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely is.
It's insanely awesome.
But you're wishing you had an IPA now, aren't you?
Well, it's funny because you were given that. That pucker face.
I do.
And I couldn't figure out why he was given that pucker face because one of the reasons I like this sour is that it's very sessionable. You can drink more than one of these. You're not going to go home with a stomachache.
I mean, it's still tart.
Have your face turned inside out.
Compared to what Lee drinks.
I guess that's true, too.
It's tart anyway. There's a lot of that really lactic kind of yogurty sour in this one.
Luckily, I brought...
And that will get people...
This to counter...
Yeah, and this is...
I was prepared for a little bit of a sourness, so I brought a little black
ale. It's okay. I brought a bonus beer that you'll love even more later.
Oh, very nice. But as they call this one, it's... what is it? A sour red ale. It's kettle soured, brewed with hibiscus flowers. Clean and crisp, balanced acidity. Accentuates the aromas of honey, roses, and Riesling grapes. And actually, they... partnered up with a winery for their, I think it was for their 9th anniversary that they just had. They partnered up with a winery and made a batch of this.
Didn't they do it with grape must
in it? With grapes, yeah. It was like Moscato grapes or something.
I remember reading about that, yeah.
But I'll bet that was super good.
I find it really interesting how many, what did you say the head brewer was, like a biologist of some sort?
Microbiology. Yeah.
Mm. Isn't?
Super nerd.
Yeah.
Which is what makes him good at making beer.
And I think this is something we've seen before, because the head brewer at Phantom Carriage was also like some kind of chemist or biologist, right?
Yeah, he did. What?
And I just I wonder if that's a thing.
I can't remember what his exact thing was, but
you know, not necessarily.
I mean, you can get a is it fermentology now?
Fermentation
science.
Something
along those lines.
I don't know.
Like, you need actual degrees in, like, brewing science now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's essentially what brewing is. It's just, it's a different science. So.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Only it gets you more drunk.
Well, yeah, it's the best science.
Than most science does. I watched a lot of, like, National Geographic's and Planet Earth specials and stuff, and I've never caught a good buzz.
Fuck.
Just saying.
You weren't on the dust while...
I wasn't on the dust.
You weren't on the dust.
That's true.
Because I thoroughly enjoyed this, I want everybody to share in it. I will definitely let you have the jizz shot on the next bottle. Because, you know...
I'll drink it.
He's gonna do that favor
I'm
for you.
We'll just make sure and get you some of the fresh right off the top. So hand me that glass when you're done with it.
So, Lee, what the hell are you drinking?
Yeah, you know,
what is that?
Ah, there you go. This is my new mug. Well, not my new mug. Rose gave this to me because I'm a burly man.
Oh, yes.
But it's spring,
okay.
And I'm feeling virile and
I don't think anyone needed to know that.
I've never been so glad to be on this side of the table.
Yeah, you're lucky. I'm sitting next to this guy. Yeah.
So I thought my half face, bearded half face mug was appropriate for spring equinox, which I think is actually today, isn't it?
It was this morning. Yep, yes. At 9.
Is that
for the record? This beard 23? Is also
so. That means winter's over. Oh, I'm so winter's over. Sad.
Yay! Look at those lips.
That's some springtime beard. I think I own that shade of lipstick that's on that beard.
Yeah, them lips are like fresh out of hibernation and all rosy. And
I like that whoever did it, I guess, did it so that when you drink from it, it looks like it's your nose and your beard and all that kind of stuff. But it might also just be because they were bad at eyes.
It could be.
Actually, Rose and Liam painted this for me. Did they?
Yes.
Oh, it's
what happened? They what?
Wow.
Rose and Liam painted this and
really
and made it for you and fired it and
they made that.
Well, they didn't make the mug. They painted it.
Oh, okay.
Well, even then, that's really cool. Yes. Look at that.
Make sure Lee gets more sour.
Don't try to suggest of your mug to me.
Gently rubbing the rosy lips on
the painted lips.
But yeah, I thought it was clever.
As we all drink.
I know, right?
Guys, we're supposed to take turns. Can't have dead air while we all drink.
What was that? I saw a Far Side cartoon one time when a castle was being besieged. Okay. And it was a whole rampart of archers. And it showed one guy, one of the approaching enemy people that was, you know, besieging the castle, charging the castle. He was lying on the ground dead, and there was 1,000 arrows in him. And then one of the archers up there says, "Huh, shit, what do you know? We all shot at the same guy."
Nice. Oh, man. Dude, was there any better bathroom book than those Far Side
books? No, that's pretty good.
For our demographic growing up. You know, pre-cell phone, when you couldn't play Angry Birds or whatever the kids are playing these days on the toilet, you had to read Far Side or Garfield.
See, I was a Calvin and Hobbes.
Or yes,
that was my that was my happy spot in a lot of ways.
Also true.
Yeah,
I can see you as a Hagar. Also true.
Oh, I dug some Hagar.
Very cool documentary on the Netflix. Maybe might be Hulu. I'm not sure. It's one of those. But there's a great documentary. I can't remember the name or anything. You just brought it to my mind. But it's on Calvin and Hobbes and the impact that it has had on people. I would love to say it talks about how it got started. It doesn't do a lot of real deep background on it because the guy who makes Calvin and Hobbes is apparently quite the recluse.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to be involved in anything.
He doesn't.
So it's just all from fans and from comic historians and other comic artists and everything. But it's almost cooler because it's just super tribute.
This is not Dilbert because I hate Dilbert.
Yeah. I'm neither here nor there. Dilbert is just the modern Ziggy.
Watterson, I think his name is, or something like that, isn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah. No, he did his first interview ever.
Bill Watterson,
a couple years ago, and it was his only interview after like 25 years.
That's crazy.
From when he stopped doing Calvin and Hobbes.
Wow. Well, anyways, check it out. Yeah. It's a good documentary. You'll have to Google-fy all the info because I don't remember it, but it's really good. Okay, we have to talk about this movie. We can stall as long as we want.
Yes.
It's going to have to happen.
Yep. I got to two-fist this movie.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should.
Train wreck.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about
two fists.
Let's talk about the direction of this film, the director. So our director, Norman Apstein.
Hey,
so
don't knock him. He has 100 movies, 100 films under his belt.
100 films this guy's made.
Lee, you're going to talk about each one of them right now.
Well, Lee has probably seen them all, or at least seen parts of them all, as probably have many of us gentlemen here at the table, because this is the only movie...
Oh, no, wait a minute. Grace was raising an eyebrow.
Norman Apstein ever made that isn't a porno.
Really?
Yes. Huh. This was his attempt. Oh, and actually, I know for a fact that Grace has also seen part of at least one of his films, because
did he do those have thighs?
He did. I wrote down just a few of what I thought were his better works. Bitches in Heat Part 1, Locked in the Basement.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
I think
we can all remember that one. The Erotic Adventures of the Three Musketeers. Yeah. And also, he began to show his interest in horror, or his at least affinity for horror, when he made such classics as Intercourse with the Vampire and the ever-beloved Edward Penis Hands.
Oh, so yes, you have seen...
I have not not seen
You haven't seen even a clip of Edward Penis Hands?
No.
Okay. But you've seen Hills Have Thighs?
Bring it up
now. So The Hills Have Thighs was accidental.
Well, we're recording early.
I was watching Comcast. And I was trying to find something to watch, and I saw The Hills Have.
Okay.
I was like, sweet.
Done. Yeah.
I'm totally going to watch The Hills Have Eyes right now.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to which HBO channel it was. Nope. That was not, yeah.
Oh.
Those were like some jacked up hillbillies with like triple E boobs and...
So now I'm not going to
name... Got a little weirder.
I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to embarrass anybody or put anybody on the spot. And this goes out to the entire interwebs. But the lady I'm with right now and I decided one day that it might be funny to watch some parodies of the horror films.
That's because we were talking about The Hills Have Thighs and how I accidentally started watching it. And it was the biggest train wreck ever.
So we watched like a Halloween parody one and Friday the 13th parody one. And there was a parody of like the Blair Witch and some other things. But I got to tell you, I'm a little sad that I didn't know there was intercourse with the vampires. That sounds cool. I'll watch that.
It's gotta be better. Sad that I didn't know about Edward Penis Hands.
That's it's gotta be better ridiculous. Than Twilight. That's all I gotta say.
Oh,
better
yeah.
love story than Twilight.
Exactly.
Oh, and by the way, we didn't. It wasn't a good idea, and we didn't enjoy any of them.
No, they're horrible. Yeah. They're horrible.
They're really, really bad.
I've got a suggestion.
But are they Ice Cream Man horrible?
Can we just review pornos now instead of actually doing the podcast for Ice Cream Man? Please?
Yeah, can we start talking about it?
I feel like that explains it a little bit. I feel like maybe he learned his lesson and he should never try to make anything other than a porno.
I think he did, because he made, I think, more after this film than he did prior to the, well, probably about the same amount. But he had a healthy career going back into
so
the
this
porno.
Was his only
film that was not pornographic. Yeah,
really.
Which is an Ice Cream Man about
which
little children.
He decided he was trying to make more of a kids movie than he even was a horror movie. The fact that this has become like a horror fan staple was also not his intention.
And he thought this was going to be a kids movie.
Yes, absolutely.
He actually thought it was going to be.
This way,
something kids would want to watch.
It's probably, Vinegar Syndrome probably just owns the rights because they have all the rights. That's hilarious. Wow. So, it was supposed to be about kids. He wanted it to be scary in that sense, but when he thought of it as a horror movie, he was thinking, like, you know what I'm making? I'm making the Monster Squad. Like, that was kind of like his idea. You know, he thought he was making a Goonies, something that would have frights and a little scares, but for the most part be like a kids' film.
That fits because. I was waiting time after time after time after time for some kind of horrific kill, some kind of slaughter, something. But every time it was a cutaway, or it didn't show it, or it didn't, you know.
Except for one.
Just one.
Which is, I think, like the best kill in the whole movie.
Yeah, and at that point I'm thinking, okay, it's going to pick up.
The ice pick, is that what we're all thinking of?
Because
that was a straight up show the whole thing, and even had a witty one-liner, and I thought that was fantastic. Uh-huh. But, okay, here's a reason why this can't be a kid's movie, though. He has people chewing on eyeballs.
Yes, exactly.
In great close-up.
Fucking, I loved it.
Yes, exactly.
He has a dog being slashed with a friggin' razor blade.
And then put through a grinder.
Hidden in an ice cream bar, and then put in a meat grinder, and then made into more ice cream.
Uh-huh. He had a push-pop switchblade.
Yes. Yeah.
So before we get too far,
a kids movie, this is not.
I want to talk about that Rocky Road scene.
Okay.
Because that actually, I thought that was very clever. Dude, he had like a handful of jar full of eyeballs that he put in the ice cream, and a cop came up and said, "Oh, Rocky Road." And so he was all like, "Fuck you, cop. I'm going to put eyeballs in your goddamn ice cream." And the way they overplayed that cop, like eating it,
close
and
up.
Then rolling,
biting down on it just a little bit,
rolling the eyeball around in his mouth and his tongue, and he was just like, "Who? First of all, who fucking eats ice cream like that? Except porn stars,
exactly,
right?"
And I was watching a review about this movie where the guy says this was that scene was like his money shot. That really showed where he's a porn director. Super tight in, close up on a mouth while it's gingerly holding an eyeball between its teeth and licking it with it. It's so gross and disturbing, but probably to that guy, he was like, yeah, this is going to be great. Everyone's going to love this.
Kids are going to love this. The kids, you know?
Doing it all for the kids.
And then he bites into it and it's all,
All right, well, We mentioned the cast. We have to go through it.
Oh,
and again, there's some of these movies we just have to.
Yes.
You know, Aliens was one. And
yeah.
American Werewolf London, but you have to with this film too, because it has so many people. But
first of
mostly,
all, how in the hell you gotta start did with, he get these people to
first
do
off,
this?
Yes. First off, good point.
How?
First off,
what did he bribe them with?
No, Clint Howard to do anything. First of all,
yeah.
Because Clint Howard, he's just a B movie actor,
brother of Ron Howard.
Yes,
yes, and
Richie Cunningham. Yes,
you. I can't help but think, and I'm going to say this under the assumption I will never meet, who I'm sure is a wonderful gentleman, Mr. Clint Howard.
Oh, I would love to meet Clint Howard.
I can't help but think that some of everyone's infatuation and love for him is just the fact that we all feel so bad.
Dude,
his older brother is Ron Howard, who's made Cocoon.
Yes.
You know, who
he was Richie Cunningham.
Richie Cunningham, who has had a lifetime of superstardom, who is making Academy.
Opie.
Yeah. He's making Academy level films his entire career. He's, you know, a big somebody.
First off, though, if anybody ever looked like a pederast, it's Clint Howard.
That's the thing. Right there. Neither one of them got a good set of hair in their family tree. Well, so I get that. But
Clint got it first, though.
Clint, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
I find it funny, too, that just what a podcast or two ago, we were talking about what movie
Leprechaun.
Was it?
Leprechaun. It was Leprechaun number two.
Yeah, with and Clint Howard.
With Clint Howard in there.
Yeah. Who? I know where you're going with this.
Yep. Go ahead.
You're all
no, go ahead.
Who tells that guy to go get an ice cream?
Go get an ice cream.
Exactly.
And a year later, he's stars in Ice Cream Man.
He's ice cream come man. Full circle.
He was actually Clint Howard was in a movie that was pretty decent at the time. It was called The Wraith.
Oh yeah,
I like The Wraith.
Charlie Sheen and that lead actress. God, I can't remember her name, but goddamn, she was amazing.
She better than Courtney Palm.
Well, at the time, because Courtney Palm was only four.
was she better than the two in Cannonball Run?
In the Lambo?
Sally Fields and Farrah Fawcett?
I don't know who it was. I just remember being 11 and
no, going, I don't know.
I really like Cannonball Run.
Farrah Fawcett back in the day, come on now.
Yeah. Speaking of Lee Majors, Lee Majors 2 also
the
stars
second.
In this. Lee Majors right. the second. He's one of the cops, and that is,
the fruit of his loins.
Lee Majors.
And then in a
tie-in
to two podcasts ago, so prior to Leprechaun, we did an American Werewolf in London, and this film also stars
David Nottington.
The star- shit.
God damn it. Hey, bust out the Languinitas right now. This means he's a Languinitas.
Yeah. And to Grace's point, how the fuck did they get these people?
Right.
Yeah, David Nottingham.
Well,
first of
all,
I was
going to
say Lee Majors the second.
He
not
might
hard to
have
get him.
Bribed them with Tasha.
It's like, getting Chad McQueen.
Well,
to play
but
your
then
movie.
You get Sandal. Is it Sandal Bergman from? She's Valeria in Conan with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She's in there.
I love that all three of us are like,
oh, come on. Really?
You lost us.
Yeah, no idea.
Oh, no, it's the Viking chick, the Conan's love interest.
I've seen Conan like once.
Oh, it's such a brilliant movie. Anyway,
it is a great movie.
David Warner.
Yeah.
David Warner's in this. I mean, that's a real life Shakespearean actor, like classically trained.
Yeah, because he's
Britain.
Yeah, Tron.
Yeah.
Tron. You know?
Yeah.
And he's got one of those bit parts in this film that really just goes nowhere.
Yep.
So he does a lot of acting for zero payoff, which is really funny.
And we
you know the best thing about David Warner, Grace. The priest in this movie, he was to be originally Freddy Krueger. And the only reason he was not Freddy Krueger is that he had scheduling tie-ups and couldn't do it.
Well,
and so then they
went
with... because
he would have sucked.
You know, whoever that other guy is.
Yeah, can you imagine? who ended up being Freddy Krueger?
You.
Who was Freddy Krueger?
All I heard was you were sleeping on the couch.
Yay!
No, outside.
We all love Mr. Robert Englund.
Yes,
everyone
we
else
do.
Does. But he was also in Tron, Titanic, Straw Dogs, The Omen, Time Bandits, Company of Wolves.
Yeah, it goes on and on.
Sorts of bandits. David Warner. And then he's in this for probably a total of like 5 minutes screen time and for no reason.
God, he was supposed to be for... Ugh, no.
Yeah, he's the father of...
I don't know how that would have been.
...of one of the girls that is like involved in this whole like escaping from the ice cream man situation. All these actors and actresses are great and all, but none compare to the great legendary... Jan Michael Vincent.
Oh, yeah.
Jan Michael Vincent.
That
Mr.
guy has...
Mr. Airwolf himself.
Airwolf.
Yep. And also with Charles Bronson in the original Mechanic.
Yes, he was. Yep. You know,
But yeah, Airwolf was a formative show for me as a child. Oh, yeah. It was right up there. And then that cheap, lame ripoff Blue Thunder came out.
Blue Thunder.
And I watched it because I, you know, took pity on it. But
yeah, fuck that Blue Thunder, dude. That ain't no Airwolf.
If you, it's if a you poor man's Airwolf. Fellow hawk. Yeah, it was a poor man with Airwolf. If you punch in Jan Michael Vincent, you're more than likely going to get a bunch of articles that come up that say the rise and fall of Jan Michael Vincent.
Really?
Because apparently he has, and I won't go into a big thing, but there's a lot of history behind this guy and the tragedy that he's gone through. He has been in like 20 automobile accidents, and one so bad that it crushed three vertebrae and screwed up his whatever this thing is right
larynx?
Here, this larynx yeah, thing. Yeah. I always confuse it with the Dr. Seuss guy that goes around and saves trees.
The Lorax.
Yes.
Okay, Lee.
Wow.
I get what you're saying.
Wow. Grace just legitimately facepalmed.
She did. She did.
She absolutely did. You can understand the similarities.
Oh, I surely can.
But crushed that so that he has a very gravelly voice. His Lorax got crushed.
Yeah. But his thorax.
And
he's just trying to save the trees.
Nowadays, apparently he had his left leg amputated. So this guy has been
through some
shit.
I feel like he shouldn't get in cars.
Exactly.
He should stick to helicopters.
Helicopters. There you go.
I wasn't meant to be on the road.
Also, sports fans, Mr. Steve Garvey.
Oh, yes, he is.
Was in this film from the Los Angeles Dodgers and
San Francisco Giants. He played for a while, too.
Did he? Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah. What character was that?
Five pennants and a World Series this guy pulled in, and he's in this movie.
What character was he?
He didn't play for the Giants. No, that's somebody else.
Yeah,
yep, Dodgers.
You lost me at sports fans. he was the other detective, right?
Yes.
No, wasn't it Jan Michael Vincent?
He's the main cop.
It was the main cop, and then Lee Majors was the second cop.
There were four cops.
Oh. Huh. All right.
There were the two that became puppets.
Yes.
And then there were the other two, because there were two cars. Because then there was the older guy, and then the guy that was with him.
And then what was the name of your Conan the Barbarian females?
Sondal Bergman, I think it was.
Yeah, still don't know her.
Wow.
But Olivia Hussey. Is in this.
Yeah, Olivia Hussey, yes.
From Black Christmas. Uh-huh. And the original It miniseries. Way too much talent is what we're getting.
Yeah.
Way too much talent. Exactly, and we haven't even talking about Mr. Clint Howard's resume.
You've got all of these people that have just done amazing things. You know, American Werewolf in London back in 1980, whatever it was. And here you are almost 15 years later, and all of this talent comes together for a porn director?
Let's talk about
they came together for this man right here.
Yes, let's talk about Mr. Clint Howard. Please, bring up his resume, please.
They came together because, you know, while Airwolf is cool and American Werewolf in London, sure, we all like it. And, you know, The Omen, oh yeah, that's a good movie. Little things like Time Bandits, whatever, Tron, seen it. But if the guy who is the star of Evil Speak and... Leprechaun 2.
Yes.
And Little Nicky.
Little Nicky.
And I would like to point out he was also in Backdraft.
Yes, he was.
And The Rocketeer.
And The Rocketeer.
He was in The Rocketeer.
And Tango and Cash.
Yes, Tango and Cash.
See, you thought I was going to throw all his B appearances.
He was not in Tango and Cash. There's no way in hell
he was. Who's he in The Rocketeer?
Absolutely was. It's a bit part. He has bit parts in every damn
thing.
He's
Clint Howard. He goes wherever he wants. He's like a chameleon.
Yeah, he was blends in Austin Powers.
Yeah, he was in Austin Powers. Yeah.
Yep. This guy's been in some really banging movies for like 20 seconds
at a
time.
So what you're saying is when Clint Howard speaks, people listen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when he says, I want a bit part in the first 2 minutes of Leprechaun 2, people are like, you got it.
So when somebody's pitching this idea, like, we got the perfect person for this little bit part, and they're like, we don't need a bit part of this. It's Clint Howard.
Oh,
write him in.
Oh, we're
right
get a bit part.
I think this actually was one of the first
Clint
in
motherfucking
which he
Howard.
Carried the whole thing.
Oh, like, yeah, he did.
Legitimately carried it.
I think this is his first or his second leading role since Evil Speak, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's all I got to say about that guy. We could have run down 50 things that are like dirt garbage, but I thought we'd get a little credits there. You know,
so with all this great talent, clearly what we're going to talk about now is how amazing this movie was.
No.
Can we talk about how the chubby kid was not even a chubby kid?
Yeah, the chubby kid too.
They legitimately had like a pillow under Tuna's shirt, and it was making me crazy.
Yeah, I thought he looked funny, and I couldn't figure out why at
first. He was just a normal like sized kid, and they wanted to make him like the chubby, fat, slow kid.
You could see the corners of the pillow at times.
It was so bad.
They also had the poor man's Macaulay Culkin in it.
Yeah,
they did.
Small Paul.
Small Paul. Yeah.
Poor man's Macaulay Culkin.
That's what I was calling him.
It was so funny to me that all the kids had names, but the ice cream man himself, and I don't know if they were trying to make him like, you know, the boogeyman or something like that.
The ice cream prince.
First off, though, the beginning of the movie is hilarious, where the regular ice cream guy gets like mowed down mob style, like a drive-by just shooting this guy. Never explained. You don't know why.
Doesn't matter. Traumatizing.
Then this is what starts.
You assume that's little Gregory.
This is what happens. Yeah. This is what triggers.
Yeah,
Mr. Clint Howard.
Because doesn't
to his
the little kid go up to the dead ice cream man that just got mowed down?
Starts eating ice cream.
Yeah. He pulls an ice cream off his body and he starts eating. He's like, "Who's gonna give us the ice cream?"
Yeah, took that push.
Well, and his mom came up to him. He's like, "Are you all right?" He's like, "I wanted an ice cream."
And that's the only time we hear his name.
Yeah,
Greg. The whole rest of the movie, every single person,
the nurse uses his name Gregory all the time.
Yep, she says Gregory.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice because even the cops only call him Ice Cream Man, and the kids are always Ice Cream Man said this, and the cops are like, "Look, Ice Cream Man."
No, the nurse gives up his name a lot.
Okay.
This shows you that ice cream above all. Doesn't care if you die. You give me my fucking ice cream.
That's true.
Right now.
Or ice cream above all.
Or a fucking rocket pop or bomb pop or whatever.
Here's a needed segue. Ice cream man.
Yes.
Have we all visited the ice cream truck when it pulled into our street? And we run out there with our
I wouldn't visit that fucking truck.
No, but we did, right?
But yeah, I did.
So what did we buy? What kind of ice creams were you guys? Because, see, we didn't come around at the time where they scoop scoops out of a tub. I think we're all a little bit too young for that. But Ice Cream Man was he's a big part of your weekend days.
Fucking red, white, and blue pop, dude.
So you were a Rocket Pop guy?
Yeah,
record, I lived out in the sticks. So I only got to, like, get ice cream truck if I was, like, in town at, like, my aunt's house.
Okay.
50-50, I was either Creamsicle or Rainbow Pop.
Creamsicle's
good. That's
a good depended
choice.
On my mood.
That's a strong choice.
But that Rainbow Pop was, like, gigantic.
Yeah, that's the thing. You could spend your money more wisely if you got something that was iced versus cream.
No, but I had a weakness that's for like the creamsicle.
Like giant Otter Pops were like 50 cents.
As long as they're not cockroaches in my ice cream, I don't give a shit. Or eyeballs whatever.
Iced treats? That's like being robbed. That's not true.
Yeah, people buy snow cones.
No.
What that's the not, no. Have you ever had a Hawaiian shave ice?
Come on. I've had it.
Shave ice.
I did it once, too. I did it, too, once just to say I did it. And I
but
it
it's
again.
Not the same. It's like you're being robbed.
Yeah.
You know,
if I want flavored water, I'll just drink flavored water.
My thing was, and I don't know if this was actually what it was called then, but nowadays it's chocolate-covered, like, crunch bar over a vanilla bar, you know, the chocolate-covered crunch.
Yeah.
Or the Butterfinger crunch one.
Oh, I never had the Butterfinger one.
Oh, those are so
it's good. Yeah,
I've had the
good.
Crunch bar a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Butterfinger's better. Good.
Or dip cone, you know, something like that.
Myself,
yeah.
I had to get myself some Pop Rocks.
I see you as a chocolate-covered banana guy.
It had to happen. Nope, I was Pop Rocks, and then I was one of two things. It was either the Super Mario with bubblegum eyes, or it was the Ninja Turtle with bubblegum eyes.
Oh, see, by the time I was getting crap out of the stupid ice cream truck, the only thing with bubblegum eyes was goddamn SpongeBob.
Oh.
Oh, and it
really?
It tasted like garbage.
I forget how young she is.
Yeah, SpongeBob.
It was horrible. Nobody, my cousins would get that.
Did it taste like pineapple under the sea?
I don't know. I didn't eat it. It was gross.
We had a lot of things with bubblegum eyes. We had the Marios and the Ninja Turtles, of which
I
was
all over those.
Famous. We also had the Pac-Man ghosts.
The Pac-Man ghosts. Yes. I remember those. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. But I tried to figure it out by which characters had the biggest noggins, because then you got the most ice treat.
That is true.
I mean, SpongeBob, you got a pretty good amount of crap.
Well, Wally mentioned something really interesting, the chocolate-covered bananas. I make fun of Grace's age. I go back so far that in movie theaters, you could actually have a chocolate-covered banana. And I had my very first chocolate-covered banana when I was watching Alien.
That's cool. Different kind of movie theater.
And that was not a fruit. Well, it might have been a fruit.
But it may have been chocolate-covered.
It was chocolate-covered. Of that, I'm sure.
And it went in your mouth, but...
Oh, I had my very first chocolate-covered banana like, literally like 5 years ago at Disneyland. Really?
Oh.
Yeah, it never occurred to me to eat an actual healthy anything, at, even covered in chocolate. When we would go to
like the state fair, they would have them at like some of those like weird little.
Yeah, they always had them.
Put shit on a stick.
But I was just like, I could get chocolate over ice cream or chocolate over a healthy fruit. So I was
I really like bananas.
See, I cannot stand chocolate over any kind of food or fruit or anything else. Because like, I'm thinking to myself, well, fuck, that's what a kid wants. Fruit in their chocolate? No.
I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I liked it very, very much. But I've never thought about getting another one. It was just situational. I don't know.
That's fair.
I remember getting sick, though, eating that chocolate-covered banana watching Alien.
Well, that's called an STD.
God, we're just taking this right down the hole. Right down the rabbit hole.
I love it when Grace cuts loose.
All right, so young kid sees Ice Cream Man gunned down in front of him and gets put into some kind of a therapy program / institution, which involves injections,
shock torture.
Right in
the brain. Right in the fucking head.
And a clown.
Know, right?
As most things do.
And a clown.
So there's a clown, complete with balloons.
A large horse needle.
And horse needles into your actual brain.
And a clown.
What was the saying that we said? They said
there are no bad days. They're all happy days or something. Yeah. I beg to disagree. It certainly looked like every day they showed us of him in there looked really bad.
Well, and this goes to speaking about how convoluted the movie was, because it had this really interesting like hint of something that never paid off.
Yeah.
Because it had flashbacks to this psycho ward or whatever it was, and Nurse Wharton, which I thought it was Warden, but it's Nurse Wharton, apparently.
Okay.
Well, I like how they throw that little jab in there for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, too.
Oh.
When they said something like, say something like, something about a cuckoo movie or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But they never really flesh out, like, the relationship between Nurse Wharton and the flashbacks. You only see that she's in a house. And Gregory visits her or something.
Or sleeps in her front yard.
Or
kills her dog.
Well, Gregory... the doctor mentions that Gregory was always her favorite. And she was always there to take care of people. So I think she was just kind of like the caregiver and just kind of...
Yeah.
Quasi-adopted him.
Well, and she's still, in current times, while he's going around town killing people and serving them as ice cream and things... She's still the one that's just like, he's such a good boy. And
that's true.
He wouldn't do this and he wouldn't. But again,
because entirely, no bad days.
Entirely pointless. Like, there was no reason.
Yeah, right. It's like, this could go somewhere, but it.
Yeah, no reason for any of that.
The kids are playing hide and seek and they hide in her house and she's like, I love hide and seek. Yeah.
Every single character in this film, except for maybe two of the kids, is absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every character. That'd be the cops. The way they handle their visit to the insane asylum later, like all that kind of everyone.
Like the one guy who's walking out of there while they're all after him. I was like, run to your car, dude. Don't sit there and walk around and push them away and all this stuff.
Absolutely
like,
crazy.
Run.
Yeah, that was another bizarre scene when the cops actually
Come on, Michael Vincent. You know what to do.
Yeah, he does. Come on. He gets in a car wreck.
Get to the chopper. Get to the chopper.
Now, that was another weird thing. Again, it's this convoluted storyline that they're telling. The cops go to the old hospital or the hospital to follow up on this ice cream man's story.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It turns out to be like actually you think that it's still going and still active. And
the
still
inmates are running the asylum.
But the inmates are everywhere running the asylum and then go, I don't know. It was like
I think what's interesting though is when they walk in there, you don't see any of the shit show that they had to walk through to get out. So how did they get into that room that they started in?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where everything was normal and fine.
And one cop, when they start being mauled.
But then it was just like World War III.
Yeah,
in there.
It just turns into...
It's like zombie mental patients. Right. Yeah. Just slow walk. I mean, full on arms out, zombie style and everything.
Right, like the hospital had been dilapitated.
Well, and Grace has a good point, too, though. Bolts and runs.
Smart.
The other guy literally walks as slow as you can possibly imagine walking. I would have to try to walk that slow. And what he does is forces everyone that's acting behind him, who's trying to look like they're running after them, to run at a walk pace. People are literally jogging in place.
Stopping, right?
And like, every now and then, he just turns around and puts his gun over his shoulder And everyone like shrinks back a little bit, like, you know, you've shown a vampire a cross. And then he turns around and starts moseying again, and they all mock run after me. It was the weirdest shit I've ever seen.
It is. It is. It is absolutely the...
Grace had a good idea, though, or she noticed something. She thinks that you know, the doctor that's showing them through there at first until they get deep into the asylum and like, it's all crazy and he's kind of crazy. The guy on the... You know, the table.
The guy on the table with the snapped off syringe. That's the actual doctor.
He's the actual doctor.
Oh, and probably. Yeah.
He's crazy. And
he's just taken over. Yeah. Because the nurse wasn't there to take care of them.
Yeah. And somehow, like, and somehow survived for the equivalent of how the hell old is Clint Howard? So they've survived for 40 years. Just in an assignment, and none of them have aged because they were all young.
Really? We're going to start picking into technical details now?
That's what I'm saying. It was crazy. Yeah,
exactly. You know, this whole shit happened over a course of a couple of nights, and then all of a sudden you see Tuna fucking lost all his weight. I'll tell you that much.
Well, he lost his pillow.
So Clint Howard gets out of his asylum as a young boy and becomes the town's ice cream man. This is what we know.
He's ice cream prince, not the ice cream king.
He's super, super creepy. Very awkward. His ice cream little window even has bars on it, like a jail cell that he hands the ice cream out through. Like, he almost knows that he's a danger to everybody in the way that he interacts with everybody. So he begins to kill people around town. This group of kids, the Rocketeers, is that what they call themselves?
Yeah. The Rocketeers.
Which is funny because he's in Rocketeers.
Clint Howard, yeah.
They are kind of like... The Goonies,
the Goon Squad,
mixed with like the Bloodhound Gang from 3-2-1 Contact. There's another aging myself.
Yep.
3-2-1 mixed with like the kids from E.T. He did try to make them that Kids on Bikes that's so popular again now with Stranger Things and all that. They decide to solve this mystery because one of their own gets, they think, murderized by the ice cream.
Murdered.
Yeah, they think he's dead.
Which he didn't. He was just Stockholming.
Yeah. So the kids are running around town doing what they do best, which is saying things to adults and being ignored.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the ice cream man continues to kill adults. And the adults can't figure it out, and the kids know what's happening, and that's pretty much the plot.
That's it.
That's your basics.
Yeah. And then that's when things are... And if they left it at that, that would have been fine. We would have had a Goonies. Yes. We would have had a Stranger Things or something. But no, then they tried to introduce all these other subplots and sub-characters or whatever that never even went anywhere. Not to mention the flagrant display of Converses.
Yes.
Yeah, this was pretty much a Converse ad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
maybe that's where they got some of the money.
Well, it was sponsored. The movie was sponsored in part by Converse. And so a whole bunch of people wore them, and they made sure to film certain shots just of the Converse. So that is fact.
Wow.
Yeah. That was not accidental. Yeah.
But hey, you don't get this kind of quality accidentally. The script was written in 3 days.
So. No, you absolutely don't.
Yeah.
Well, and when you've got an actor like Clint Howard. 3 days,
yeah.
Yeah. 3 day script and filmed in a day and a half, turns out. Yeah. When you've got an actor like Clint Howard who puts such work into his craft, this guy,
he
drove to the set, yelled, and screamed at the top of his voice for his entire drive in. It was like 45 minutes.
Why am I not Ron?
So that when. Why?
God, why am I not Ron?
I will always be in the shadows.
Why was I not Opie?
There's a lot of reasons why he was an Opie.
Oh, holy, absolutely.
No, as you were saying, though.
Oh, but you know, Clint Howard, however, what I was going to say was he was making his voice hoarse so he could do that gravelly voice
that
just sounds like a guy doing a gravelly voice. Yeah, I still don't actually think it worked. I think he just says that as an excuse for putting on that gravelly voice the whole movie, to be quite honest. But Clint Howard is also a child star. He may have not been Opie.
He was in, it's escaping me, I thought.
Star Trek.
Oh. Yes. Really? He was the fucking crazy ass little midget thing.
Yep.
That was like Tholian's Web, I think was the name of the episode. Something like
He also the Ninth Doctor?
Let me just say, I did not bring it up. Yes, Clint Howard was the Ninth Doctor. Fuck.
It would have improved that show. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Hey, Clint Howard's not out. Apparently, there's a sequel planned, or at least they're trying to kickstart it
for Ice Cream Man.
For Ice Cream Man, too.
Really?
Oh boy.
Oh god. Yep.
He will do it.
I would.
I will watch it. Just mention it. Be like, hey, you want to do this? I'll be like, oh, yes. So here's the best. And I didn't take a lot of notes on this or whatever because I was just kind of watching it haphazardly one night. But I'm watching the bonus features on the really awesome and recent Vinegar Syndrome, multi-format release. They just put out this DVD Blu-ray. Super awesome. They put a lot of care and love into this thing. But it has a bonus interview with Clint Howard where he's like calling out like George Lucas.
Really?
And Steven Spielberg.
The Berg?
And like by calling him out, I mean exactly that. Like, he's like, well, you know, if they'd have known a little bit better, they would have done this. This guy literally thinks, like, he's in there with, like, Hollywood elite, and, like, he should have an opinion on it, and it's fucking funny. That interview is just as funny as anything in this film. It's really hilarious. I have
to watch it.
This movie, God, man. The Ice Cream Man is being interviewed by the cops, and the cops suspect him of murder. And killing people in town, possibly a small kid, maybe some other people. They don't care about the dog, apparently. But... And he tells a policeman, I used a chopped up policeman as fertilizer to grow these great flowers.
Yes.
That's what he tells the cops when they ask him
how. Plastic flowers.
Yes. So he says, I used a chopped up policeman as fertilizer. The cops kind of go, He walks away, and one of them goes, something isn't right here. And the other one says, do you have a hunch? And that's the entire scene. And scene.
Which is and a total porno scene.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like that so bad at acting and trying so hard to try to like push this pathetic story along.
Because at this point exactly is when the and then the sex starts. So once he said, do you have a hunch? That's when they started making out. In a porn movie.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the segue.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You're like, I got more than a hunch.
Yeah. I got a hunch in my pants.
Oh, we got to take a pause from this movie, though.
Do we?
Well, Grace poured us a new beer. I was kind of curious what it was real quick.
It certainly looks more beer-like.
I found a bonus beer. Because what happens when you've been eating a bunch of ice cream?
You get brain freeze. You end up
with sticky hands.
Oh.
And I have Dayhold Tropical Slam sticky hands, and I needed a reason to drink it.
Oh, man.
So I decided to share and managed to find a way to dive into it.
I think we should try to find a way to tie sticky hands into every movie.
I'm okay with that. I bet you I can do it.
You know what you get when you stab someone repeatedly?
Sticky hands.
Yeah. So if you haven't had Block 15 sticky hands,
you know what happens with Lee when he watches Zombievers.
Well, you're not going to have had it. Unless you're from Oregon.
That's true.
This has got an incredible hop smell. Most people
in beer nerd land at least have heard of it. Even if they haven't.
Absolutely.
I got mine delivered today at my store, and it was literally canned yesterday. Also, I figured, bonus, what better way to ruin Lee's day more than making him drink a sour would be to make him drink a sour and an IPA.
Yeah, give him a super piney IPA.
Yeah.
The things I love about IPAs is the smell more than anything. I absolutely this
one,
love
I
want to
swim in this
hops,
one.
Man.
It smells so good. So this is the Tropical Slam variant that they do.
Awesome. What's funny is I saw you pouring out a beer over there, and I was like, oh, she's got a guest beer of some kind. And I looked at that Bearlick can.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's perfect.
That's my roadie beer.
That's so perfect. But that's just – well, it's WTF, which also would have been an amazing tie-in.
Actually, that would have been a great tie-in, but no, we drank this on the walk over
what the
here.
Fluff.
That's perfect. That is. That's like – when I watched WTF. This movie, I was like –
this should have been the beer for this movie. What the
it fuck? Absolutely could have been. Fuck. No, if you've got ice cream, you got to put sprinkles on top.
I hear the American Film Institute is going to save this movie and restore it. And
I heard that we recalled back our satellite that has the large brass disc. And we took off all of Mozart's work and put this on there instead.
Oh, we should.
Nice.
And then send it back out so that when aliens finally make contact with that thing, they'll
take
just nuke us from orbit.
And it's high powered.
I heard that you guys are trying too hard, just like this movie.
Lee?
Shit. I like that our podcast is devolving into the level of this film, which is that we're not making any sense and we're no longer on track. So this is perfect.
But it's perfect.
It's the perfect episode.
It's Ice Cream Man.
Well, you know, and it's one of those fucking cult movies. I'm so surprised, though, that it was a
such a young movie, 1995. And
yeah,
I don't know. I would have expected this at 89 and 87, exactly. You know, so
exactly. 20 years old though.
Right.
Yeah, true.
The thing is when I first watched this, I was probably
bless you.
Within a year or so of it coming out. And when I first watched it, I didn't care for it at all.
No.
Like I was like, that's some garbage.
This is a piece of shit.
And I moved on. Because by that point I'm in my 20s. So, you know, here I'm thinking I'm a real rad horror fan. Sure. And I'm watching all the new cutting stuff.
You're like
a
goth with some sophisticated taste.
Super goth at that time. So,
how's that talking thing go?
What's funny is between then and now, I somehow became very excited about this movie. So that, you know, I first planned on pairing Sprinkles in this movie like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, no, he had this long, one picked out way back.
Long before we this even started DVD actually. Blu-ray release came out or any of that kind of stuff. Because apparently absence makes the mind grow dumber.
Yes, it does, my friend.
And so I was like, you know, that movie was cool. Oh, I gotta watch it again.
Yeah, no, I watched this movie thanks to you two. And
Did you watch it? You got some good chuckles out of it, though. Inebriated, though.
No, I was sober.
See, and that's what you were telling me, I think, the other day, was that if you had been...
If I had been a little bit drunk or a little bit high, it probably would have been fantastic. At least a beer or two
in. Also, not the movie you watch by yourself. Sitting in a room by yourself on the couch watching this movie, not a lot of fun. Sitting in a room watching this movie with someone else so you can look at each other and go, what the fuck?
I feel this is one of those movies we all should have watched together and then podcasted it.
I will, however, say that now, just days off of watching it for the last time, I still really enjoy this movie because of how just absolutely absurd it is. It's so crazy.
That's the beauty of it. Sometimes you just need something that's just so absurd.
Well, and it's not without certain, like, shining moments. Like, the first real gore scene, I guess, when the horny housewife not only is screwing with David Naughton's, you know, character, but also starts hitting on the ice cream man.
Yes.
I feel like she'll just
somehow... She wanted his animal magnetism. I don't know what it was, but
she was all about it. Right after she starts flirting with him and asks if she'll deliver and tells the address, he's like, she wants his cone.
She wants his push pop.
She wanted his push pop.
I started laughing. So I was like, damn it.
That's awesome.
Well, he delivered. He did. That was a big ass cone that he had.
It was.
It was a giant cone.
And he made it a threesome.
Yes, he did.
Because...
I think that's what we should say, actually. I want to talk about it, too, but...
It's on the cover, I think, that image. It? Yeah, it's right there.
All right, fuck it. Let's talk about it.
He's got our boy toy's head as the ice cream. And he takes the time
to
make a cone big enough.
Yeah, it's a giant-ass waffle cone,
first
man.
Of all, he burnt this guy's face with the waffle iron.
Yep.
Yes, he did.
And then killed him, decapitated him, put him in a giant waffle cone... And then, like, did, like, whipped cream and a cherry on top.
Well, that was, for me, the best part, is that this cone is 10 inches across and has a head in it. But then he has taken a normal-sized scoop of vanilla ice cream and added a second scoop on top of the guy's head and then, like, and said, dropped
the
cherry
guy being good old David Naughton.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Always a pepper.
Between that and the cop puppets, his cone, the Naughty Naughton.
And the cop puppets, who he also decapitated, he stuck their heads onto ice cream scoops.
And was, like, making them talk.
So he could marionette the heads around.
Yeah, as he was chasing the kids around.
Yeah.
And they were totally on mission still. They were like, oh, okay, some dude's chasing us around with fucking decapitated heads doing a puppet show for us, but we're on mission. We're Goonie style. We're hitting.
They had to find Small Paul.
And Tuna had to lose some weight.
Yeah, Tuna did.
Yeah, so our kids, we've got what? We've got like normal white kid. We've got like the girl.
Normal white kid is like totally crushing on the girl. Yeah. It's really pathetic and funny.
Then you've got Tuna.
Tuna.
Which is the actual name of the fat kid. Because it's even referenced, why did his parents name him Tuna?
Yeah,
because
the older brother, that one kid's
isn't
like...
isn't revealed that it's a joke. Like, I expected him to go, why did his parents name him Tuna? And then someone else to go, that's not his real name, dummit. No, that's his name. His name's Tuna.
That's his real name.
Well, what was the other kid's name was something really dumb, too.
Shit, I don't know.
Small Paul.
No, the other kid that they were making... he was at the house, and the brother was making fun of Tuna's name. Shit, what was that kid's name?
let us refer to the internet.
The interwebs.
Interwebs.
The, like, yes. Weird, whatever, just normal white kid.
While he searches that off, I have a question for the table.
Oh, God.
How can you film a movie called Ice Cream Man and not teach your lead actor, who's playing an ice cream man, how to scoop a fucking scoop of ice cream? Clint Howard scoops ice cream in this movie. Like, I can't even say what I want to say because it'd be so offensive. He, like, an idiot.
You can always edit it out. I want to know what you're going to say.
It is completely impossible. He's fucking Clint Howard. He does what he wants. You want to talk about sticky hands?
They are the most jacked up.
When he scoops that one kid's
ice cream. Oh, I know.
He has ice cream literally halfway up his forearm, and it's dripping off of his hand onto the ground. And for one scoop of ice cream.
None of the recipients of said cone seem to notice.
No. Yeah. Every time he scoops ice cream in the whole movie.
It is the most horrendous ice cream cones you've ever seen.
It never fits.
So I was like, you know, sticky hands really
William Hung could scoop a better ice cream than that guy, dude. Trust me.
I'm afraid
Edward
Penis
Hands could scoop a better scoop.
I'm not really coming up with a good second name.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Okay, but
Edward Penis Hands at least is made out of fresh cream, so
that's true.
No,
there it is. Some whipped topping,
a little topping there.
So he does the puppet show with the severed heads. My favorite kill, though, is when the guy comes into his ice cream factory looking for him while his wife and his kids are in the car, and the dad comes in, and we see the dad come back out, and he's got his big coat on and his hat pulled low. And as he jumps back into the car, it's not
the
dad.
It was the brother.
That was the brother? Okay. It's Clint Howard.
Yeah.
Dressed up in his clothes. At which point he goes, hiya, honey. And then stabs an ice pick.
Yep.
And they did not cut away from this one. And it was a great damn kill.
Yeah.
Up through her chin.
Yep.
You see it go through her mouth and into her brain.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then says something. Oh, what did he freaking say? Now that's what I call brain freeze.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Robert Englund would have been so proud.
Moment, I was like clapping.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a good kill. So it had those moments like that that keep you excited after 10 minutes of what the crap am I watching? And then you go, it doesn't matter. This is rad.
But they were few, though. Few and far between.
Very few.
So, I mean, there were no kills really that you could see. I mean, okay, so dude shows up at Horny Housewife's with Naughton's head on a cone, and then he kills her. But you don't see it. All you see is Clint Howard get pirate-eyed by her blood.
Yeah.
You know, fucking money shot, basically, in the
eye. There was a lot of money shots.
There was a lot of money shots.
And there really were, honestly.
So up till the point when the pick came up and then a couple of decapitated heads, it was clearly a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was not your typical horror slasher kills.
Well, so you mean starting off with the original Ice Cream Man just being mowed down?
Hey, man.
Mafia style?
That's
a kid's movie.
No, that's life on the streets, man.
Yeah. Shit.
In the suburbs?
It doesn't know. In the suburbs. I mean, it just has no idea what it was trying to be.
So I'm finding it difficult to, like, not tell the whole point of the movie at the end of what he was doing with the kills and all that. So
there's really not that much of a point. So whether we tell it or not, I don't think anyone's missing out.
Yeah, well, we generally try not to spoil.
Well, sure, like, and I'm not saying we should.
I feel like we should spoil it and explain that
we're not holding a lot back.
Yeah.
I think we should. I think we should just tell everybody why.
Okay, spoiler alert.
Why.
He was basically dusting these bodies.
Yes.
And adding them as a special ingredient in his ice cream.
Yeah.
We know that from the get-go.
Okay. There's eyeballs in his stuff.
Yeah, no, he was Sweeney Todding the ice cream.
We see him put the dog into a batch. Yeah. So, no, we definitely know. The people that made this movie wanted it to be PG-13. So they put that pressure on him. So I think that's why we don't see a lot of kills.
Wow.
PG-13
was it wasn't in the 80s. Fuck, I was going to say PG-13 was was a whole lot different in the 80s than it is now.
It totally was.
The 90s.
Yeah.
But this was halfway through the 90s.
That's the thing, it has no part or parcel to the time it was made.
It really doesn't.
It should have been made 6, 7, 8 years prior to when it was.
I honestly thought it was like an early 80s.
Yeah.
I did not have any idea that it was 95.
Nope.
That makes it even more shameful.
Totally. Yeah. I like that at the very beginning of this movie, there's a scene that doesn't matter at all. It's the four kids. Well, actually, I think it was just the three main kids at that time. But they're on a merry-go-round in the park. And we've got a cool crane shot up above them as they're spinning around in circles. Mm-hmm. And there's like some wackadoo, crazy, like park janitor guy picking up rubbish and shit.
Well, it makes you think that he's going to be the creeper. Like, exactly. The kids.
Again, totally pointless. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like intentional misdirection. They were just like, you know what every kid movie has? Is like a creepy old janitor guy.
I don't know, man.
So they just put it in there.
Maybe we underestimate the brilliance of this film.
It's quite possible. And he comes up to the kids and tells them the story of the Pied Piper. Mm-hmm. And how the Pied Piper led all the rats out to save the city. And then when the people of the city didn't pay up, he came back in and led all the kids out to their doom. Mm-hmm. Cool story. Didn't exist in the film for any reason whatsoever until the very last moment.
No, the kid was reading the book. Small motherfucking Pied Piper. Paul,
who's not small so small Paul anymore,
yeah.
says it.
Small who's Paul. Who's
the Pied Piper now?
But he says, who's the Pied Piper now, ice cream dick?
Yeah.
Which was the second moment. I think I started like clapping and was just laughing.
Now, I have to admit, that part did interest me a little bit in the sense that the ice cream man showed up and apparently took the park ranger down or the park janitor down.
Oh, yeah, but he ended up in the freezer.
I thought it might have been Small Paul that got killed, but it turns out it was Ice Cream Man in the freezer or park dude in the freezer.
For the majority of the movie, we think Small Paul's dead.
Dead, right.
And so all the kids, and so they're even telling people, he killed Small Paul.
Yeah.
But Small Paul was just being groomed.
Yeah, that smart motherfucker was like he was robbing to the Batman.
He was in captivity.
Yeah.
He was being turned into the ice cream man part two.
Then he got his butter brittle.
Mm-hmm.
And he was good.
Yep. And then he was the hero. Burkle.
Sloppy, nasty, and all. He ate it. I'll tell you that.
He was the one out of the one on the floor.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Tootie eats the sand-covered creamsicle at one point.
The thing about the sequel that they're trying to go fund is I don't know how they're going to do it because clearly there's a conclusion.
Well, Small Paul.
Small Paul.
Yeah.
He is.
No, they left it wide open.
But it says starring Clint Howard reviving his role. At least in what I read.
He'll probably just be Small Paul. Exactly. Or something.
Hey, he's the heir apparent, Small Paul.
I mean, we see him go into... Well, anyways, we see him meet his end.
Demise.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't...
Or do we?
Oh, well, I guess that's true. We don't really.
Yeah. It is all left the imaginations.
Well, I'm on board. Much like regardless, if it happens, I'll watch it.
There was an escape hatch.
Oh, you mean like when we watched Jeepers Creepers 3? Because that was so a great fucking idea.
Fuck.
What?
I was saying if there's a sequel, I'm in. I'll watch it. And she's calling my bullshit on the fact that we all went and saw Jeepers Creepers 3.
Which is now on Netflix, I believe.
Also, I saw it at Best Buy. It went
which is reason to cancel your Netflix if you haven't already. Everyone, cancel your Netflix.
You don't like slow motion
till they remove Creepers?
I actually watched...
I love that we stayed till after the credits and watched the special on it, too.
Yeah, I actually watched three on the internets, and it was terrible.
Well, three?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I would rather watch Ice Cream Man once a week for the next year than watch Jeepers Creepers 3 one more time.
Paid money to watch that shit.
You guys paid theater money for that.
We did.
Yep. We've done dumber things.
I thoroughly enjoyed and have watched many times over and over again Jeepers Creepers. I think it's solid. I love the acting. I love the dynamic of the really brother and the sister.
Really good.
I liked the idea of the creeper and his character.
I didn't even mind the second one.
The second one was like, oh, all right, well, they couldn't hold the magic, but this is still cool.
But yeah, number three is like...
No one could know how bad this third one was exactly. going to be. Nobody could know.
It was hyped up. It was like, here you go.
And we've all been wanting it. Everyone's been asking for it, you know, and everyone... who went crazy on the internet trying to ban it and get it not seen and all that kind of fun stuff. And it was the cause of the week. But the fact is that it could have been another decent horror movie. And it was not.
It was not.
Much like Ice Cream Man.
Oh, I would watch Ice Cream Man over.
Yeah.
Over
look, no, I would. Jeep I would watch
any day.
Podcasting this movie, I was watching. I was like, man, I can't recommend this to anybody. But upon completion of it and talking it over, I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I can fucking recommend it because it's just so Like, yeah. It has all these weird elements to it.
It comes with a recommendation and 4 pages of clause that you need to sign at the bottom. Brother. Because you can't tell somebody, like, watch Ice Cream Man, it's rad. But you can tell somebody, watch Ice Cream Man, it's the worst goddamn thing you'll ever see, but it's hilarious.
Right.
People know what to expect. Yeah. I don't know how much more I can even say
about this show. I don't know that I can say much more about this shit show. I think...
Let's just say...
this dead horse about as far as...
Watch the movie at least once.
Yeah.
It is.
And before you do, go back, catch up on Clint Howard's resume. Yes. Watch all those movies.
Watch The Wraith.
Watch like six other films, and then this one.
Yeah. Or just get really drunk. Or really high, and then watch it.
I don't actually mean that. Don't go back and watch any of it.
I really do mean to get drunk first. Yeah.
Dude, Tango and Cash was a good movie.
It was,
which is why he's in it for like 5 seconds.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Okay, what part? Okay, two things. First of all, don't watch Ice Cream Man. Second, what fucking character did he play in Tango and Cash? He wasn't
You say don't watch Ice Cream Man?
Yeah.
No. That's one no. I'm a yes. It's a yes for me.
Don't watch Ice Cream Man sober.
That's sage advice.
Yeah. It is.
But watch Ice Cream Man because it is a shit show and it's worth watching.
That could be said about listening to our podcast.
But you should probably be a little drunk. But other than that, it's fine. But yeah, don't do it sober.
No. I mean, if we've been throwing out recommendations for like Ginger Dead Man and Jack Frost, shit like that.
I feel like you could probably create a pretty fantastic drinking game with this shit show of a movie.
Oh, man. I'll bet there is one. I came across a lot of Leprechaun drinking games after we did that episode because we did it so far before St. Patty's. And then when St. Patty's rolled around, it was too late. But
it's okay. We can watch more Leprechaun movies.
Yes.
Well, there's a new one coming up.
There's a new one.
No Warwick.
So. It does have a slight Warwick vibe to it, though, doesn't it?
The one that doesn't have the
little person.
Yeah,
what do we?
I never watched it.
Is that little person?
Wee little man.
It's a different little person than.
Let's just say Leprechaun
was in Origins. It's a different Leprechaun than the Leprechaun in Origins. Okay. That might be really. but he seems to be pulling off the Warwick Davis vibe a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit of the makeup look is similar.
And then, of course, the greatest nod to how amazing it's going to be is that it's a sci-fi original.
Oh, Jesus God.
Which gives you the likes of Sharktopus versus Terracuda and all that other bullshit.
Sci-fi originals, those are my jam.
Dude, those saved sci-fi. Those shark movies and the animal movies and all that.
It's true.
The originals they were making before that, like Gargoyles or the Mummy's Curse or whatever it was with fucking Casper Van Dien. That shit was
But who doesn't want to watch Piranaconda?
That's the thing. They were trying to make legitimate, like full moon style horror movies, and it still wasn't working out. They needed those
Shark
Attack
has Machete in it.
Hey, did you watch Dick Shark?
No, I can't find it where I can actually watch it.
All right, well, I was looking.
I've been trying to find it.
Fucking pictures.
Yes, if I can find it online, I will watch Dick Shark.
Go watch Ice Cream Man.
But not Ice Cream Man. Yes.
I will straight up watch Dick Shark.
You know what I want to recommend? Yeah, that's one we should watch. And maybe podcast someday is Rawhide Rex.
As long as you stop calling it Rawhide Rex.
Isn't it Rawhide Rex?
Rawhead.
Rawhead? Really?
Rawhead Rex.
Rawhead Rex.
I know, words are hard.
I haven't seen it in 20 years.
I don't even know what it is. Rawhead Rex is fucking sweet.
Let's do it. Next St. Patty's, because it's an Irish horror flickamaroo.
That's sweet.
We can, instead of doing leprechauns next time, maybe our St. Patty's one will just be different Irish horrors.
Okay.
That sounds good. Cool. Because
Grabbers is one. We love Grabbers. Yes. From the Dark, which I don't think you guys have seen yet. One of my favorite vampire movies.
Yeah, I just love the fact that we've moved on from talking about Ice Cream Man now.
You just have to know how bad it is.
Now I want
to
rock and
pop. If you know how bad it is, you can enjoy it.
I know. We should have had ice cream in this episode.
We should have made beer floats.
No.
What the hell? What? No? We could have made them out of our sprinkles.
In sprinkles? Ooh.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. That sounds all right.
Vanilla goes with everything.
That would have made everything better.
Give me some root beer. That's fine.
That fucking jizz shot that I had of sprinkles.
And you loved it, dude. You had it smeared around your mouth.
You swallowed it just finally.
I did. I commit. I've been in college.
Can we just talk about banana?
Let's not talk about what you did in college.
Is that when you were rolling in the grass and ripping your shirt open? Pretending no, no, no.
That was when I was an adolescent.
Oh, I was confused. Sorry.
Me to sip from
I got lost in your timeline.
Manly chalice.
Virile manly chalice.
With ruby red lips.
And a purple beard.
Oh, man, I think that's about it for us.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have to say about this one.
The bearded lady.
So there you go. 75% of us say Ice Cream Man is totally wackadoo and you should watch it.
Yes.
Please. So,
the other 25% have, fuck it, edit this part out. That didn't work at
that
all.
That I'm leaving in. I wield such great powers.
You are. Oh, Lord God.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody, again. We will catch you next time.
All right. Yes. Peace.
Cheers.
Blue. Ha.